Merry Christmas to everyone. This day is a special day because it's a day that most people believe that Jesus came to the earth. So, first of all, I just want to ask God to minister to you and to minister to myself. So, can we just close our eyes for a moment and just pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because we know that you are the King of Kings. We know you are the Lord of Lords. Lord, we don't just remember you on the 25th of December, but we remember you every single day. We remember you every single day because you have a special significance in our heart. You are our life. You are our beginning and you are our end. Lord, we know that when we are with you, we are safe, and we know that when we are with you, we can overcome. We thank you this morning. Please, Lord, lead us and guide us and speak through my mouth to be able to minister and encourage all of us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn to someone this morning and just say something to them. I want you to say to the person beside you or in front of you or behind you, if you're on the front seat, you've got to turn around or whatever. I want you to say to the person, God has a destiny and a purpose in your life. Did everyone has been told? Everyone has. Is there anyone who didn't say anything to anyone? God has a destiny and he has a purpose for every single one of you. From this one here, this gentleman here, all the way down to the back, from the person Antonella down there, all the way to the front. God has a destiny and he has a purpose for you. I really believe that you need to hear that this morning. God has a destiny and a purpose for you. You know, there's an old saying in Italy, and I don't like it at all. They say, oh, it was his destiny. What a load of rubbish. God has his destiny and a purpose for you. Amen? It's not your destiny, it's God's destiny for you. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow morning. He knows what's going to happen this afternoon. He knows what's going to happen in 50 years. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that will happen to you, and he knows everything that has happened to you. Not only does he know everything about you, he knows everything about your children that you have in your arms this morning. He knows everything about your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Amen? God has a destiny. He has a purpose for you. And you know what it is? Do you know what it is this morning? His destiny, his purpose for you is that you will prosper, that you will be blessed, that you will bless someone else, and at the end of your life, that you will go in his arms and he'll grab you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here is the house that I have now prepared for you. Come and spend it for eternity with me. Is that good news? Yes. Is that good news? Yes. Amen. You know, Jesus came. He had to come because there was an enemy. There was like a battle going on. We were his enemies. We weren't his friends. You say, well, how could I have been his enemy? You were, by the attitude you had, by the attitude I had, by the way I spoke, by the way I acted, by the way I spoke to other people. The Bible says that our sin has made us a separation between us and God. So he had to come. And God has always desired to be close to his children, always from the word go. When he made the Garden of Eden, he made Adam, then he made Eve. Why? He wanted to be their friends. He wanted to communicate with them. But unfortunately, the devil got in the way and he spoiled the whole party, didn't he? He made a mess of that beautiful, perfect relationship and that beautiful, perfect garden. So what did God do from that day onwards? Think about it for a sec. Everyone, just think about it. What did God do after that? He tried to make it right again. He tried to be close. He tried to be their friends again. How? He got an animal, killed the animal, covered them with the skin He made a covering for him. He had to sacrifice the animal. But it was always God that was trying to take a step forward. This morning, God wants to take a step forward to you. God wants to take a step forward towards you and towards your situation. He wants to be your friend. He wants to make it right. He came at Christmas time for that. And as we look through the Bible, we see many, many, many other examples. The children of Israel. Do you remember what happened there? They used to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. They used to carry it around with them from one place to the other because God wanted to be close to them. So they were carrying him around. After that, what happened then? Then there was a temple made and the Holy of Holies was there. God always wanted to be close to his children, didn't he? Always wanted to be close to his children. So they went into the next, and then things went on and on and on, and I haven't got time to go through the whole lot. But what happened was, it's God that wants to be close to you. Did you hear that down the back? God wants to be close to you. Down this side, God wants to be close to you. Nigel, God wants to be close to you. Mick, God wants to be close to you. Morella, God wants to be close to you. God wants to be close to you. He's desired that. And then what happened? The ultimate sacrifice. He said, that's it. I've got to come. I have to come to make it right once and for all. No more of these lamb sufferings and the animal sacrifice and so on and so forth and the blood offerings and all the rest of it. I want to come. I've got to make it right. I want to get close to them. No more of this separation between me and my people. So Jesus came. He came in the form of a small little child. But don't ever forget that he was always there. He was always there from the beginning of time. He had to come in the form of a child. He came in the form of a child to make it right with him. And then he died, as you know, he lived and he died, all because of you and me. He wants to be close to you. This Christmas, do you want to be close to him? He came, he left his Holy Spirit. No more need to carry the Ark of the Covenant. No more need to go into the temple, although we have come into the temple. But what I'm trying to get at is this. The temple is now in your heart. The presence of God is now in your heart. When you go out those doors this morning, you're not going to leave Jesus here. You're not going to leave God here, the Holy Spirit. You'll be taking him with you. You'll be carrying him in your heart. At your Christmas parties this afternoon, at your luncheons with your families, hey, don't ever forget about Jesus. Tell your friends about him. Tell your families about him. Some of them might think you're a bit crazy, like they do at my work. They think I'm screwed in the head. They think I'm not there. We had a Christmas function and the general manager and production manager and all the other people were there, and we invited our best clients, the one that spend the most amount of money. And there's one particular guy, lovely man, Polish man, lovely man. He says to me, because he always likes to pick at me about this Catholic thing, he says to me, hey, you're Italian, aren't you, Lorenzo? And I said, yeah, I'm Italian. And he goes, you're not a good Italian, are you? And I said, why aren't I a good Italian? You're supposed to be Catholic. You're not a good Italian, you're supposed to be Catholic. And I said, well, what's that got to do with it? So he's trying to have a shot at me, and he says, in front of the general manager and everyone there, and they're all looking to see what my response would be, he says to me, what do you believe anyway? You reckon you're one of these Christians? What are you? And I said, well, I'm similar to a Baptist, because I didn't want to get into all the things like similar. Oh, okay, so you're one of those Baptists. So what do you believe? You're supposed to be a Catholic. All Italians are Catholics. What's wrong with you? And everyone's looking at me. And I said, you know what I believe? And I didn't have the whole day to tell them about it. I said, I believe, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. So I said, listen, if you do to other people exactly what you want them to do to you, I reckon you're on the right track. And it went silent. The room went silent. And he changed the subject all of a sudden. But I believe that was God giving me that answer to give to them, because I didn't really want it. I didn't know what to say. I just said to him, do to the other people and all your friends, families, everyone, do to them the way that you would want them or what you would want them to do to you. If we live like that, I reckon we're on a good track. We're on a good path. So this morning, I just want you to be encouraged. I want you to believe and I want you to know that God is with you every day of your life. He can see through your situation. Sometimes, you know what I've found some in life as well, is sometimes situations seem different than what they actually are. Can you hear me down the back? Sometimes situations in your life and in my life can seem on the outside different than what they actually are. And I'll give you an example. I heard this example and it was a good. It's about a story of a lady who went on a plane flight. This lady was blind, so she had a guide dog. She had the guide dog, and then the flight landed. She had to continue on, didn't have to change planes. She had to continue on. So she said to the stewardess, she said, do you mind if you take my dog for a walk? And the stewardess says, no, I can't, but the pilot is going out of the plane, he can take him for a walk. So can you imagine this? The pilot comes out, he's got his real dark, cool sunglasses on like all pilots have, walking out with a guide dog, like this. And everyone's looking. Pilot? With a guide dog? We're in trouble here. Situations are not always what they seem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the devil can take a situation and make it look 100 times worse than what it is. Sometimes the devil can take situations and make you think. You keep on thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it, and from this it becomes this, to this, to this, 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 this. Are you with me? Can anyone, is anyone on the same page as me this morning? Jesus can see straight through that situation. And even though it might be difficult, even though it may be hard, even though you may think there's no way out of this situation, I've got good news for you this morning. Down the back, up the front, I've got good news for you this morning. Jesus has a way out. Jesus came as a little child to reconcile you back to the Father. Hey, yeah, we make mistakes. Have you made mistakes? I have. We make mistakes, but we have a loving Father. And I've got verses of Scripture here that I could read to you. We have a loving Father we can turn to and say, listen, Lord, I've messed up. I ask you for forgiveness. I know you came, and you came and died for me. I know this is supposed to be a Christmas message, and I keep going back, but it's all interconnected. Do you see what I mean? You can't get away from the cross and then just Christmas and Easter separate, because they're both one and one. They're both part of the same thing. It's interlocks like a chain. See, Christmas and Easter are the same thing. They're all one sequence of, it's one big long sequence of events that started here and finished here and now is continuing on. So what I'm saying this morning, and what I want you to do this morning, what I want you to take out of this service this morning, is that God has a destiny and a purpose for you in 2016. He has a destiny and a purpose for your life. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you even though you've made mistakes. Does that mean you've got to keep making mistakes and keep sinning and don't care about Him? No. Learn from your mistakes. Do things different. If you want different things to happen in your life, you've got to do things differently. You can't do the same thing and expect different results. Do you know what I mean? If you make a cake like this and don't change the ingredients, how's the outcome going to be different? You need to put different ingredient in to change it and make it into a different cake. Same with your situation. If you keep doing the same things, you'll end up going down the same path. Jesus came as a child to show the world the way life needs to be lived. And if you and I can look at Him as an example, not me or anyone else in this room, because we all fall short, but if we can look at Jesus the one who died on that cross as an example. He is a perfect example. Look at him. Learn from him. And then we'll be going on the right path. There's God came so we can be made, so that he could make peace back with us. There's something that also I'd like to share with you also, that what happened was this, that when Jesus came, he was crucified, he was criticized for what he did. The same people, you know, we saw that clip before. Remember the clip where they had the palm branches? Probably the same people that were saying, yeah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, King of the Jews, they were probably the same people that were saying, crucify him 5 days later. So he knows what it's like to be ridiculed. He knows what it's like to be picked on and bullied and made fun of and whatever. But this morning, please be encouraged. Because he knows what you are going through and what you've been through and what you're about to go through, he can be sympathetic and help you. It's one thing to say to someone, oh, yeah, I know what you're going through, verbally, but it's different when you've actually been through that. Isn't that true? When you're actually going through something and you've been through the same thing, you can sympathize with someone. And that's what Jesus done. He came and he knows what you're going through. He knows the heartache. He knows the loneliness you may be facing during this Christmas period. He knows about your family and your friends. And he sympathizes with you and he gives you strength and encouragement and he'll help you on. He'll help you to get through it. Amen? Am I encouraging you this morning? I'm trying to. We serve a wonderful God. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of pottery. I used to make pots and stuff made out of clay. So this was a passion of mine, and I've still got stuff at home after all these years of what I made, all these different things. But when you start making something out of pottery, the clay, it's just a big square blob of clay. And then you put it on the spinning wheel and you start to use your hands to create something. But it's a long process. You make it, you let it dry, it goes in a kiln, gets fired. Not fired as in kicked out the door, but fired, like cooked. It gets fired, then it comes out, then you've got to glaze it. And then you put it back in and fire it again with the glaze on top. And you know, sometimes you go through all that effort. First time it comes out, it's all fired. Then you put the glaze on, you put all the beautiful colors on it, and you make it look like you want to. It goes in and it cracks it a million pieces because of a little bit of imperfections in there, because of a little bit of impurities, maybe a little bit of dirt that was in the clay, microscopic stuff, because of the heat that it comes to, so hot, it just cracks the clay. It cracks everything. And you know, we are clay in the potter's hands. You, down the back, up the front, you're all clay in the potter's hands. Who's the potter? Jesus, the one that came at Christmas time. And he takes your life, just like I used to take that clay, and he makes something beautiful. You have a purpose and a destiny in life. He has a purpose for you this morning, and he'll have a purpose for you for the whole of 2016. So as you allow him, you need to allow him, but. And yes, you will go through those real trying times in the kiln where things burn and it gets pretty hot in there. But if you can stay close to him as he forms you, as he puts you through the kiln, you will be beautiful. The end result will be spectacular, something to put on the mantelpiece. And he'll say, look, there's my good and faithful servant. He was faithful, even though things didn't go his way. Even though he went through some hard times, he stayed close to me. She stayed close to me. You with me this morning? You know the diamonds that you girls have got on your fingers, most girls? Do you reckon they look like that when they got pulled out of the dirt, out of the ground, hundreds of meters down in the soil? Do you reckon they were shiny like that? No way. They were yucky. They were terrible. But they had to get taken out. They had to get polished. They had to get cut so the different facets can shine. A diamond is all about facets. When you look in the middle of the diamond, there's all these little facets that come off everywhere. And the more different facets it has, when you look through the center in that little piece in the middle, the more shiny it gets. You are a diamond in Jesus' hands. You are His diamond. Don't forget that, girls and guys. You are Jesus' diamonds. He loves you like the Bible says, like the pupil of His eye. Go and touch Michael's eye with your finger, the pupil, and see what happens. You'll be sorry. Touch your own pupil with your finger. Just touch it and see how, whoa. Very painful. Very annoying. If anyone touches you, they're touching the pupil of Jesus' eyes. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Can I get that? Can I get you to understand that this morning? He loves you so much. Praise God. He loves you. He wants you. And one day He will take you home to live forever. Amen? Amen. Let's close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You this morning that You love us with an unconditional love, that You love us so much, Lord, just like that diamond, Lord. You look at us, You don't see the impurities, Lord, but You see the beautiful, shiny facets in our lives. The things that we can achieve, the purpose and the destiny that You have for us. Please, oh God, I pray that You would encourage every person here this morning, from the youngest little child to the most elderly person here. May we always remember that Jesus, You loved us so much that You came all those years ago. You came all those years ago. Let's all stand. Just look to the Lord this morning, just for a few more moments. I want you to just to get into communication with God. Just look to Him. Forget about everything for a moment. We'll be out of here very shortly. Just look to God for a moment. Just spend those few moments with Him. Dear Lord, as we just open up our hearts to You, as we look to You, Lord, may we be mindful of how precious and how much we mean to You. You came from heaven. You didn't have to come. You came from heaven. You were in a perfect environment without any need to be crucified to a cross. How much love did You have for us to come and get nailed to a cross all those years ago? Oh, dear Lord, this is just uncomprehendable. It boggles my mind how You could do that for us, Lord. May we always be mindful of that. May we look at Christmas time and remember. Not just a little baby that came in a manger in Bethlehem, but a Savior that came to save the world because of the great love burning in His heart to reconcile us back to You. Father, we give You the glory. We give You the praise. May we be encouraged this day, knowing that we are precious in Your eyes, that we are precious in Your sight, Lord. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.